Very blessed and thankful to be here. Please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And this morning we're going to look at a verse that the Apostle Paul wrote by revelation to a group of people, Thessalonians, and he commended them on a couple of aspects of their lives. And if that in and of itself is not an amazing thing, it was the backdrop in which that these three things that they were doing, that they were doing it amongst what was going on. So 1 Thessalonians, we're going to read this whole first chapter, but we're going to stop after we read verse 3. So verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. I'd like to make a couple of points. It says their work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. All those grammatically can and should be understood as the right way of believing. There are many ways to believe, many things to believe, but there is only one right way concerning God and His word, the scriptures. There is many ways to love, but there is only one way of loving concerning God and the scriptures. And there is, people have many hopes, but there is only one, the right way, or the proper manner of hoping, according to God and the scriptures. Okay, also, towards the beginning of that, remembering without ceasing your work, and that word is pretty much what that means. It's an effort. It's nothing that comes serendipitously, or you just hang out and it overtakes you. It's an effort. Got to put forth an effort. Anything good, especially in the Word, usually, other than getting born again, which you is an effort. You got to work, and there is great profit to it. Is there something else? And so when we look at some of these, and then this is going to be my outline. We're going to look at some ways of believing, some of the love, and some of the hope that the Scriptures talk about. And when we read some of these, you'll notice that they're not mutually separate. A lot of them are, bundle packages, unlike your phone or cable bill, you get bundled things. These, you'll notice, a lot of these other topics are joined together. Okay, so we're going to keep reading. Let's do three over again. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. There was much contention. There was a lot of stuff going on. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Verse 7. So that you were in samples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place you're believing, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I'm going to read chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Okay? You can read in Acts chapters 16 and 17, basically what happened, the unbelieving Jews and the Gentiles, they, not together, but they got people to chase Paul. up in that region, he got chased from one town to another, and he's being with a bunch of hired thugs, you know, not only disrupting him, but they were roughing up the believers in that area. So there was a lot of contention, affliction going on, but they were still, as he said, they had the right believing, the right love, and the right hope. Let's go to 2, verses 18 and 19 of chapter 2. Wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing, are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Okay, we're going to go to chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. Basically all the afflictions and persecutions and junk we deal with today, either directly or indirectly, comes from the adversary. It could be traced back since Genesis chapter 2. So, but especially the adversary who's against God and the purposes of God will direct his attention to people who want to stand for God and want to spread the good news of the gospel. Okay? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 12. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay, just something we ought to just know it and just get over it, you know? Pretty much, you know, and nobody, you know, nobody in this world has an easy life, you know? There's always, but we shouldn't let that rattle us. The more of the scriptures we know, the more what I refer to myself is lock and loaded, you know? You got to have the word, something to battle with, so when it comes up, you have something to fire back at. Calling to remembrance Jesus Christ, when he was tempted of the devil, he kept saying, it is written, it is written. Okay, so we have an antidote, we have a victory in Christ with the scriptures. Okay, so we shouldn't let that rattle us. Yes, it stinks when it happens, but just, we have an answer. We are not, I'm getting a little too ahead of myself. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, keep going to the right a couple of books. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5, it says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant. It means be awake and sharp and just allow God to work in you, to direct you. Allow his word to become your guide. You know, we took Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior at the beginning. You know, we don't want to like veer off from doing that. Let's continue in those things. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom we can resist steadfast in the right way of believing or the right faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren than in the world. And that accomplished kind of means that other people are dealing with it. We're not, sometimes you think you're the only one, maybe I'm doing something wrong, but no. He's, you know, life, you know, we make plans and then life happens, and then, you know, the adversary gets thrown in there by throwing darts and, you know, messing with people. So somebody looks at you mean or grumps or growls or whatever, you just say, God loves you. Just don't let it rattle you. Just resist. The more you resist, he says, and say he will flee, right? And he will leave, just as he did with Jesus Christ. Let's go to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 6. verse 10. Ephesians 6, chapter 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I think he's a little bit stronger than most of us, right? You know what I think? "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Okay, God knew that we would need this, so he gave us a whole armor, and that we are to put it on. And you know that word wiles? Remember the cartoon, The Roadrunner? There was that wily coyote. What was he always doing?
Running.
The coyote, I mean, not the roadrunner. Skinny. He was always making plans and stuff to trap the roadrunner. And that's what this wiles is he's strategizing, planning. So, you know, the adversary's always working, and we should not be surprised when it happens, because it's, you know, it's going to happen. Maybe not like the Apostle Paul. We may not have a group of people chasing us, but we have, we live in this world. I mean, there's financial pressures. There are some people sometimes will, you know, kick up some dust. We have health issues, you know, mental issues, you name it. Anything across the board, the adversary's going to, it's just same crap, just repackaged differently. Basically, to make it fit this century and this time, you know, the internet and all the technology. It could be good or could not be good. Okay? It's a clue. That's deception. It's part of deceiving. Okay, verse 12 of chapter 6. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all," and a lot is mentioned, "but above all, taking the shield of faith, the right way of believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." I mean, most of the fiery darts would be good. Some would not be bad. But all the fiery darts. So we have been given information, enablements, access to God, abilities, that we can combat and overcome those issues. That doesn't mean they're not going to come, and that doesn't mean sometimes we don't have to push through and deal with them, but we have ammunition. We have the whole armor of God. And I heard in a teaching someone said about, you know, I guess, you know, we're the devil's dartboard. He throws those fiery darts. So just get over it and just know that we have a proper response to overcome, right? To be victorious, to quench all the fiery darts, to make the adversary flee. Okay, and now that was a couple of verses on the right way of believing. We're going to look at some on the proper or right way of love. And since we're in Ephesians, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 10. Ephesians 4, verse 10. "He that descended," talking about Jesus Christ, "is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ." We speak the truth in love. I mean, it does not mean compliments are okay to tell someone, you know, they look nice and their hair nice is great. But what happens to one day they don't have nice clothes on? One day they don't have a good hair day, or like me, you don't have hair. I mean, what do you know? Those are nice and those are temporal, but the love, speaking the truth. truth. Someone, they're righteous. When they're born again, they're righteous. It doesn't matter what. That's forever. And that, okay, they're loved of God. That doesn't change no matter how they dress or even what they do. They're still loved of God. Those are speaking truthful things in love. And in verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by the which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Okay, as we do that, and we know that once we get born again, we have a function in the body, we have a place. Everybody's needed. No one's discarded, no one is not needed, no one's more important than anybody else. We're all the same. And when we all fitly join together and we do those things, we're going to increase in love, in the right manner of love. We're going to grow into that, okay? And it's, you know, the unity, the one body. That's the sweetness here on this earth. Okay, that, you know, who wants to be a part of something that's grueling or very lawful, or there's a lot of rules and regulations, you know, and you know, you don't want to breathe, or you might break a law or something, or... That's not it, okay? It's the unity, and that's the sweetness where, you know, that's what attracted me. And not, honestly, it wasn't the word, but when I got into, you know, someone brought me to a fellowship, I was like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, something I want to be a part of, you know, this is great. You know, and it wasn't that hokey, phony, you know, sugar-coated nonsense that goes on in the world. It, you know, it was just something different. It's just something I never saw before. And it proved to be, you know, this kind of love. Let's go to Gospel of John, chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I said 5, but it's John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15. Verse 9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Okay, did Jesus Christ lay down his life for his friends? This was after, you know, this was, he's walked around the garden, I think, with disciples. He's telling them what's going to happen. And not only does it say his friends, but did he lay his life down for enemies, it says in Romans? When we were without strength, meaning that we were dead in trespasses and sins and there's nothing we could have done, did he lay down his life for that? And was it out of love, doing the Father's will? Okay, it's quite an example. Quite a bar, he said. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. The book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 13 says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, meaning your, you know, ourselves. We don't serve ourselves, but by love serve one another. Out of this love of God, again, we serve one another. Did Jesus said that he who is chiefest of all is servant to all. If we're going to do it God's way, then we serve out of love. Not because it's, oh yeah, I got to do it. It's not a job. It's something from the heart. It's a heart matter. And this is the right kind of love. Okay? We serve. What does it say? We serve one another. By love, serve one another. Okay, Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Philippians. is Colossians chapter 3. We'll start in verse 10. We're going to start in verse 9. Colossians 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. That's our old nature. When we get born again, we get the new nature of God. The old nature, put it off. Okay? Verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Okay, there wasn't the people that had the promise. It wasn't the people who didn't have the promise of Israel back in the Old Testament, right? There wasn't the sign of it. And there wasn't a foreigner or even the dregs of the earth, the Scythians, which nobody wants to be one of those. But whether you were free or captive or what, but Christ is all in all. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Verse 14, and above all these things, and a lot of things are mentioned, but above all these things, put on charity or the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness, or is the uniting bond of maturity. It's sweet when there's no, like, I love hanging out with you guys, honestly, more than some of my family members, you know. Honestly, it's just so sweet and tender. It's just good gravy, you know. This is where we should find comfort and exhortation and being built up and strengthened is the family, the unity. You know, that shows maturity. When there's, you know, arguments and disagreements and backbiting and, you know, divisions, there's not maturity there, and it's not loving, and it doesn't give God glory. But this kind of love does. Okay, and that reminds me of in 1 Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and 14. You know, first it starts out with chapter 12 with the manifestations, you know, and then chapter 13 is, you know, talks about charity, but that's the, you know, love of God. And then 14 is somewhat, you know, them being used. And in, what verse is that? 14, I didn't write down. 14, 12, there it is. That we had to seek to excel to edifying of the church. Something we had to do. And what is that part of that? We heard it this morning. Speaking in tongues and interpreting. Those messages are from God. Good gravy. And what at the day of Pentecost, what two new things were added to the church? Manifestations of the Holy Spirit that were not available before. Which was speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy. But and what was that for? To build up. It was a sign. How loving is that? That's very loving. You know, speaking is part of speaking the truth, but you speak in a different language. You don't know. Okay? So, it's just an amazing thing, and it's a great design. And that's the sweetness of, on this side of heaven, that's the sweetness that we get. It's just a small example of what's to come, is when that love is mature, and we're uniting, and we're speaking the truth and love and living it. That's the sweet and tenderness that is available. Can be done. And you know what? This fellowship is great on that, I must say. This whole thing. You guys, as I was doing this, it was like reminding me a lot of this fellowship. You know, so, and you guys are all that way, no doubt. Now, we get to the hope. The hope. What a great thing. I am going to do I'm going to make an analogy. What is it actually called? Oh, a hypothetical situation. Okay, here we go. Next Sunday, this is not real, right? Everybody understands that? This is not real. Next Sunday, all you guys are going to have a paid-for, why not? I'll be extravagant. Paid-for month vacation. Okay, and before you leave, I am going to give you the ticket to wherever you want, okay? And then, you're going to get a vehicle of your choosing. And before you leave, you tell me what it is, I will give you the key. You will get the keys to that vehicle. You'll have it in hand. You come next week, next Sunday, you'll have it. You'll get to go on the trip. Okay, and before you leave, I'll give you each $1 million. Okay? All right? So you have evidence of that, right? And anybody you bring will get the same deal next Sunday. Okay, now for a moment, how do you think this coming week would be in your mind? Do you think, you know, you might have be a little more excited or thrilled, or you know, the little things may not bother you, you know, you get a flat tire, or someone looks at you mean or says a mean thing to you, say, okay, you know, hey, do you want to come along, you know? But that's what the hope provides for us now, is just knowing what the great things that are available for us that are ours. We have evidence and proof of that. Okay, so and that's the putting the legs to that longevity of just sustaining the pressures, the afflictions, you know, this life, even as wonderful, as bad as it is at times, it's just there's something so far greater that is coming, and it's coming. And don't know when, sorry. Okay? So, okay, the hypothetical situation is over. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the real stuff here. And this is, I'm going to read what explains the hope is. Okay? Thessalonians 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And that is the hope, pretty much in a nutshell. But there's many more things. It doesn't say everything that it is, but that is what happens to us. Some of the things that happen to us. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Be grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith growing exceedingly and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Okay, so they're continuing. They're even after the pressures and stuff, they're still going. They're still, you know, faith, the charity, okay? Because that your faith groweth exceedingly and the charity Your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that we may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, seeing as a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. That's part of the hope. God's going to take care of the people that are giving you a hard time, possibly, if it's adversarially directed. So let God do it. We just try to stay focused on God. And verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Talk about the Calvary, huh? That's going to be a great time. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto you, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Okay, that day of Christ should be day of Lord. And it's talking about the wrath. And it always said, they already said that we're saved from the wrath to come. So something was being communicated around that, you know, the hope came, the gathering came, and if that means you're still here and it already happened, that's not a good thing for you. So there was stuff being circulated, and he was trying to comfort them and said, doesn't matter what anybody says, something, even if it's a letter from me, the truth, it's the right hope that we're not going to be here. We're not going to be dealing with the tribulations and the wrath that is going to go on. Okay? Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Okay, don't want to stop right there. The falling away is a departure. That means we get gathered. We get taken out of here. So none of that stuff's going to happen. So just know that. Just know that. Here they're trying to comfort them because these people were standing, you know, in the right way of believing and loving and hoping. And then after time, maybe they're seeing their brothers and sisters fall asleep, you know, and tribulation hasn't stopped yet. Now they're going, well, maybe, you know, maybe someone said, oh, well, we missed the boat, you know. But, you know, we didn't. They didn't. And neither did we. So let that be a comfort and a joy to you. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think we're going to be winding it up here. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 14. It says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And the Apostle Paul's writing this. If you go to chapter 11, you could read some of his things that he calls light affliction. Like, anybody been in a shipwreck? Anybody get whipped several different times? Anybody get persecuted, you know, chased out of town into the next town? Okay? A day and a night in the deep, you know. Okay? So that's what he called light afflictions. And this next verse is the key, verse 18. Why he could say that those things were light afflictions. And because he was looking towards, we'll see, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That looking is scoping. Where are you focusing on? What's your attention at? If I fall into a quicksand, you know, and if I look, you know, oh my God, this is terrible, this is terrible, and I keep, you know, if I look in it, I'm going to continue to sink. But, you know, you got to look around. You got to look out for hell. That's it. Where are we focusing? Are we focusing on the earth and the things of earth and our needs, our trials and tribulations? You know, we got to look beyond that. Look at the Word. God has provided information, direction. He's given us Holy Spirit, 9 manifestations. We've had enablements. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We got to look at those things and focus on those things, and then these other things become trivial. They may still happen, but not trivial. I'll take that back. I don't mean to belittle any situations we get into. Yes, there are many, many serious situations, and even to the point if we succumb to a lethal disease and we die, that does not stop God's hand, God's power. We have the hope, okay? And we're going to be gathered, okay? You know, we just try not to focus on that. We look at God's Word, we focus on that, and the things, you know, that are seen are temporal. Honestly, a couple hundred years, if the Lord tarries, and Wesley and Susan move out of the house or something or whatever. This house, you ever see like something left in the woods or something left out, you know, and that's not cared for or something? It just, you know, it just all of a sudden just blends right into the scenery. It dilapidates, it crumbles down. Okay, so these things that we're seeing are temporal in, if the, you know, over a long, long period of time, you know. Not saying it's going to be that long until Christ comes back, but if it it is. You know, it's all temporal. You know, we just keep our eyes focused on the Word. That's our goal. That's that would be the best. It would help in the here and now. So that's it. I'm gonna...